Good morning. Good afternoon, and welcome to the Movements Unlimited show. I am here, and I just need to take a second to pause. This is Cynthia Jahi of the Jasari's Love Show, and had a little scrambling this afternoon to get a couple things together, so please forgive me. But I'm excited to be here on the show with you. This is Movements Unlimited, the Jasari's Love Show, Cynthia Jahi. And I'm a part of Home-Based Business 101, and I'm really excited to be able to be here with you today to talk to you about the continuous topic that is just something I'm just very passionate about, and that is peace. And oh, boy. Do we have our work cut out for us, making sure that we have peace? We definitely have our work cut out for us, making sure that we have peace. And, you know, I've been talking mostly about internal peace and personal peace and that sort of thing. And that's very important also. Matter of fact, that's where it all starts. With your personal self, your personal peace. But because of the climate of what's going on right now in our country, thank you, my sister had to bring some books to me. I feel obligated to talk about peace in a larger sense, and that is the peace that we have to work on as countries and nations and tribes and whatever entity you belong to, so that we'll have a world to live in. Very, very important to me. Right now, you know, we have two heads of two nations who are, you know, we call it in the neighborhood where I come from, we call it, you know, wolfing at each other. I'm going to slap you down. I'm going to knock your wig off. I'm going to, you know, just really crazy things. You all have heard it. I don't have to repeat it. But we have to ask ourselves right now, is this a level of consciousness, awareness, and this level of seriousness of where these two people are taking us? And that is the leader of North Korea and the leader of United States of America, who people call him number 45, President Trump, that's where he was elected president. He's some name, some cockamamie means, and I have to just say that because I live here and it doesn't make sense to me how the rules and regulations are. The rules are created so that these things happen. But the main thing is I want us to think logically. And I know that in today's temperament, it is very difficult for so many people to honestly admit whether or not they are actually stopping, you know, like for example, like not talking for a few minutes, you know, even while I'm talking right now, and listening and trying to understand what it is I am talking about. So I'm going to ask everybody, when you go to listen to this particular piece I'm about to share with you, I want you to stop talking. Stop doing the dishes. Stop doing whatever it is you're doing. And this is not for my particular family members because we live in peace and harmony for the most part. But I'm talking about people that are out and about, especially those of you who find yourself constantly engaging in arguments, constantly engaging in feeling like you got to bang somebody upside the head, stab somebody, or shoot somebody, or drop a bomb on somebody. You are the one who needs to stop, keep still, get quiet, and listen to what the peacemakers are saying and observe where people live in peace and harmony and how that happens. And see, for a lot of you, it happens in your home because you're the bully. You're threatening. You either have a lot of money, and therefore you're able to threaten your wives, your husbands, or your children, your nieces, your in-laws, your son-in-laws, people you do business with, because you have the power of money, and then maybe you have an army. Maybe you have blackmail information. You have something on someone. Maybe you're always beating everybody up, so now you can beat them to a pulp, and you pretty much got everybody weak around you. So I'm talking to you. Yes, I'm talking to you. Hello, can you get quiet for a second? Is it possible for you to get quiet, close your mouth, and I'm not going to say the words shut your mouth. Well, people get real angry and say, shut up. But I will be nice about it. Please, can you close your mouth? Relax your thoughts. Stop thinking while I'm talking and listen. Because a lot of times the reason why we can't get anywhere is because people aren't really listening. They may be quiet, but they're quietly thinking about what they really want to say next before the speaker gets through speaking. They want to, like if they're on a debate panel, they really are ready to say, speak their mind. But if you have to quiet your mind down and even hear what the person before you said so that you could address specifically what was being said. So I want to repeat that again, because we have presidents of this nation, the president, particularly right now, and we've had some in the past. There have been some humdingers out there representing the United States of America. We have the governors and the mayors and all these different people, but we have people, we have parents, we have teachers, we have administrators, principals of schools, people in charge of townships, provinces, all kinds of principalities. You may be in charge of a tribe or another type of nation, a county, a city, a town. Whatever it is that you're in charge of or you're representing, you're the spokesperson. You're the people who are supposed to make sure things work out and that everybody is living civilly, but that's not what you're doing when you're not honestly, intentionally, consciously listening. Getting quiet and observing, reading the information you need to read to make sure you know what the facts are. I'm going to stop a moment because I want to make sure everybody knows that this is Home-Based Business 101, a platform that Baba Jahi created about business, and it's also about our life. And I'm talking about our life and how we live, and that's very, very critical to me. Because if we don't stop and listen without trying to hear music, listen without trying to do the dishes and ironing and fussing at children, and that's one of the reasons you're having problems, because you're fussing so much, then you fuss because you want to be in charge. Get quiet, sit down, calm yourself down a minute. Take a water break, not a soda break. Take a cup of warm water break. Okay, calm yourself down, because we've got to begin to listen and understand that there's a whole nother way that we need to be dealing with these situations in our homes, in our schools, in our churches, on the bus stop, on the subway station, on the trains, on the airplanes, again, in our towns, our cities, our counties, our provinces, our tribes, our nations. And it's a more peaceful way. You are the bigger one when you strive, as the Bernie Sanders would say, to negotiate. And oh my goodness, I could just kick myself for not being able to remember the name of the presidential candidate that ran the same time that President Obama ran. He ran, you know, a Democratic Party, this gentleman did, and he was the only person that talked about, yes, keep the door open for negotiations, and right now his name is not in front of me. But he is a person that was in Congress for 4 years and, you know, and his belief was peace and negotiation. Now, you know, in your neighborhoods or in your house, let's just say you have a couple of children that are fussing in your house. Most decent parents who use best practices and who use what we believe the Creator would want us to do, and that can go either way because there's stories in the Bible about a lot of wars and fights. But we really got to read and understand what we're reading. Okay? There are people who will have two children in their family fighting. And what these parents will do, because they're brothers and sisters or brothers and brothers or sisters and sisters, they'll pull them apart and they'll remind them, you are sisters, you are brothers. I'm not going to have this. You're not going to fight over the blocks, over the ball, over the money, whoever had the biggest piece of pizza, who had the biggest sandwich, who had the biggest, you know, sub sandwich or whatever it was, who had the most pieces of food on their plate, who had the most pieces of chicken, who gets the last chicken bone, the last turkey leg, okay? These are things that people are arguing over. Girl, she wore my sweater, that's my barrette, that's my hairbrush, she's trying to go with my boyfriend, just crazy things. But at that point, the parents should have created or have the opportunity to create. And it starts when those babies are young. As soon as they come out of the womb. Matter of fact, you're talking sweetness and love to them while they're in the womb, so they come out with a more peaceful awareness that you've blessed them with this peacefulness because you chose, you intentionally, consciously chose peace. And I've met people who intentionally and consciously really don't give two cents about peace because they think that they want to project being hard, being bad, being tough. And then maybe because they come out of these different environments. But I'm asking people to choose something different because at what point does it stop? Where does it start that we can have peace? And where does it stop that we can no longer have this chaos, this confusion, and this fussing and arguing and banging and fighting and threatening each other to the point where we have people who are leaders of their countries threatening each other. And the thing that's so crazy is that whatever they do, they probably will not be affected at all. They'll laugh about it 20 years from now while the rest of the world suffers. Wherever the bombs land in the Pacific or the Atlantic area or in the United States, the people who want to live a decent life, whether they're Republicans or Democrats, the people who love their children and their grandchildren, the people who love to just look outside and see trees and smell fresh air and go fishing, the people who like to just take and brush their horses down and ride a horse into the meadow. The people who like to sit out on the lake and just fish and just watch the birds and the swans and the blue jays and the butterflies. The people who plant gardens and who plant, plant their own, their food gardens or who sit and sew and crochet. The people who practice peace and love and try to work things out in their own families, in their own relationships, in their communities, they're the ones that get affected by this chaos and insanity. They are the ones that the bombs get dropped on. So we all have a piece in this here, and everybody needs to be speaking up because this is not Donald Trump's world, and this is not the Prime Minister or President of North Korea's world. No. There's just two spirits in the world, two souls in the world who are bent on destruction. But what about the rest of us? This is our world. There are millions of other people in the world that are going to be affected by a decision that two people are making. And that's not right. And we need to call it what it is. It's not right. It's not necessary. the world is big enough for the two of you to find a way to enjoy living your life. The world is big enough for the powers of, to be in the United States of America to find a way to take care of all of the problems that exist in the United States of America. That should really keep you busy, and making sure that everyone is fed in the United States of America, and making sure that everyone has decent housing and our infrastructure is comfortable, it's strong, it is, we're using the best practices, we're more homogeneous with the world as far as making sure that we're not doing more polluting of the atmosphere and the waters. I believe if we concentrate on those things, we sure will get a lot more done, and we'll have more time working on peaceful things than yelling at each other on television sets, at the UN and other places, actually threatening people, which is so juvenile. And it really shows a lack of total maturity, especially on our president. Because most parents spend most of their lives, the lives, you know, when they're raising their children, and this is most people that I've been around anyway, correcting their children and trying to make them understand how to live in this world with other people, how to be able to negotiate, be patient, understanding, and work with other people. Now, it doesn't always work, even, you know, with two children. For some reason, you can have two children, and for some reason, you know, they would just constantly always fight. But usually with children, they fight, and they play with each other. They're saying two children. With girls, when it's not nipped in the bud, especially when it starts off when they're 9, 10, 11 years old, it can become a feud that could last well into their 20s. That's when parents need to pay attention and do get involved. And instead of encouraging it, like I have seen parents do, we need to put it down and have these young girls understand there's no point in you arguing over or hating each other because one can kick her leg higher than the other. One can do a split in the air. I mean, I've seen battles with cheerleaders, and now I see all these dancers with these crazy battles. It's not everything. Whatever you're doing in your cheerleading squad or wherever you are, it's just not the end of all ends. By the time you reach your 40s, you're not even going to be doing half of that stuff. So we've got to get a temperament, an attitude adjustment across this country, especially, so that people have a different perspective. Just stop for a minute. It's what you're arguing about with your mate or your family member. Is it that critical that you have to take it outside on the bus stop, outside of the street? You know, you're on the phone and you're cursing this person out. Really? Why not handle your business in your house? And again, stop and take the time to figure out, okay, how can I handle this a better way, a more peaceful way, and a way that shows that I am no longer 7 years old. I am no longer 13. Okay? Because our president sounds like a 15-year-old. And I'm 61, and a 61-year-old in this country who's a tax-paying citizen, yeah, I have a problem with that. Because all my life, when I was coming up, I was raised to follow certain rules and regulations. You know, stop at the stop sign. That's why it says stop. You know, stop at a red light. You know, either I'm going to walk by first on the pavement or I'm going to let somebody else walk by. But we can't both walk in the same space at the same time. Somebody has to step aside and let the other person go by. When I'm on an airplane, I have enough sense at this point in my life to get, you know, maybe move into my seat early so somebody can go down the aisle move my seat out of the aisle. I can get on a bus and walk through a bus with an umbrella, pocketbook, backpack, and books in my arm. And usually I try not to have all that and not biting people inside the head. It's called being aware of your space and being aware of yourself. But then you have to be intentionally and consciously aware. That'll alleviate a lot of problems. You don't have to step on people's toes. We're talking about physically. If you pay attention to where you put your feet. Now, talking, you know, in another sense, you need to watch how we say things or why we're saying and what we're doing. So we have these two people. Some people believe that they just have wolf tickets, which makes it worse because then they want to prove that they don't have wolf tickets. Because wolf tickets is when you're just threatening and you're not going to do anything. But see, the problem is when people's egos edging guard out, their egos get so big that they don't even think, well, what would really happen if I did this?
Yeah, I'm going to just blow the whole thing off the planet.
Okay, but what really happens? Do you really realize that when you drop a bomb someplace, you're not going to get the person that you're supposed to be so mad at? You get everything but that person. And even if you do get that person, if you do, you get so many innocent people. I am not going to sit here and believe that every single person who lives in North Korea believes and understands and feels exactly the way their president does. And that we even know really how he feels or why he feels that way. He's on the defensive for a reason, and he put himself on the offense by, you know, saying, okay, by doing certain things. But everything historically has a reason. And we always try to sweep under the carpet what are the historical factors behind these things. Somewhere in history, there was something that was done which has caused an agitation between the United States and North Korea. What is that? So that's what we need to be talking about. How did we get to this conversation now where people are yelling at each other? It's really not funny because it's so dangerous. Now I want to go back a little bit because I talked about how parents are supposed to get the situation calmed down in their home. In your neighborhood, you got a bunch of children who are not getting along. When you can get families to work together when the children are 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 and 10, you're going to have less problems when they're 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. It's a choice that we all make. What I see happening now is, in some areas I see where you children playing together. Around the corner from me, there's quite a few children that actually do get out and play together. But then I see other areas where children, they're not playing. They don't know what play is anymore. And it's sad. They understand these video games, which are very competitive. You're always chasing something or something's chasing you, which is not really healthy. But they don't really have the whole thing on being able to really, really play together and how to negotiate that and how to get along. I'm so happy being a baby boomer that I could go outside and I could play. And there were children all up and down my block. And I could see from the top of my block down the children who I didn't think was going to work too good for me. Because they like to fight. So I didn't go to those children and try to play anything with them. They like to fight. I had to pull back. I didn't go there because that bothered my spirit even at the age of 7. At the age of 7, I could figure out, okay, this is not going to be where I need to be. That's not going to work well for me. Because they had another set of values. Maybe their parents weren't home to direct them. Maybe the mother was working 2 jobs. I don't know why these children were that way. But and I think in every neighborhood, I remember in middle school, junior high school back then, girls wanting to fight me. And I actually did get into a fight, kind of in a corner. There was no reasoning with this person, no negotiation. But then looking back, I probably could have told, and I don't remember telling the principal or a teacher, look, I had some girls that are harassing me. Or I don't know if I had time to. I think they just came right at me out of nowhere. That happens. I think that there are a lot of listeners on the call who say, hey, I remember that happening. But it's how you get through it. Fortunately for me, it didn't make me try to go round up some more girls to fight them. You know, I got my family, my parents involved. My dad went up to the school and met with the person that was in charge of the section of the school that I was in, and, you know, said what he had to say about the situation. And I basically stood up for myself in this particular case, you know. And I did that. The little girls were girls who had been in and out of a lot of trouble. They were actually had been in some sort of reform school or something, you know, along that line. Some kind of juvenile detention situation. And they weren't backing down because, unfortunately, they came from some type of broken home situation, and they had been used to pushing themselves out there and fighting. And they had to prove themselves based on where they lived at. They had to prove themselves. That's where they were coming from. So in seeing that, yeah, I had to react to that a different way. And I just basically told them, you know, that I wasn't going to change the route that I had to go to school. They had threatened that I should have to go to school maybe 5 blocks out of the way or 8 blocks out of the way. If I walked down a certain street, they were going to beat me up. But, you know, I went on, I went to school, and I went to school the way that I needed to go without having to go, you know, half an hour out of the way or 20, 15 minutes out of the way. However, you know what? There are times in my life that I have gone 2 or 3 blocks out of the way to avoid a section of town that might have been off the hook, as we would say in the hood where I come from. We call it out of control. There were not enough parents there to tell those young people, no, you're not going to fight. Or there might have been, unfortunately, some parents who say, yeah, go beat her up and take her jacket. I mean, that happens when there's a lack of leadership, when there's a lack of understanding, when there's a community that lacks God. God is not there. It never understood peace and harmony. Maybe they were hungry. I don't know the reason. I do know that desperate situations make people do desperate things. And that's why we need to work on those things within our country, alleviate the desperateness that so many people have, and then be more humanitarian throughout the world as far as, you know, working towards ending world hunger. Because when people are hungry, they are going to do whatever it takes to survive. We spend more time aiding other people in good ways, not because someone's going to give us oil, not because, you know, we're going to exchange weapons, but because we love our fellow human beings. Now, I know people are looking at this and they're going, oh, but you don't know the big picture because, you know, all these are these multimillionaires, you know, and, you know, we have to negotiate, you know, because we've got to have the oil. And, you know, we're going to have to muscle our way and take it. And then we have this thing with the fracking where we're destroying parts of the United States and other parts of the world because fracking is fracking no matter where you frack at, right? And that's why we have the earthquakes. Wherever there's a dam built, we believe we have to have these dams. Well, it's studied, that's where you have earthquakes. So there's a lot of lack of conscious thinking and desire for things to be the best that they could be for the entire world, for the future of the planet Earth. Because people have egos, edging God out. It's not about the planet and God, the creator, whatever you want to name them. And I always say this here, whether it's Allah, whether it's God, whether it's Buddha, whatever you were. Some people call Jesus God. I'm not arguing with that. The point is, there's something bigger than you. There's something bigger than me. There's something out here that made the moon and the stars, this planet, every blade of grass, the skin on my body, my bones inside of me. The fluid that runs through me, just like they made the fluid that runs inside this earth. We have to acknowledge that. You have to know it. Every single human being has to know that. And that changes everything. If we go back in time, before the Christopher Columbus came to America and caused much confusion, and we listen to and look at how the Native Americans were living, they acknowledged the greater power of the wind, of the wolf, of the trees, of the sun and the moon and the water as it flows. They acknowledged the rain. They had rain dances and the snow. They acknowledged a newborn baby being born. They acknowledged a marriage between a man and a wife, woman. They acknowledged love, peace. They didn't have total peace all the time. They had to negotiate. Yeah, they had wars. But somewhere along the line, they began to figure out we need to try to find a way to work together. And if the European had went into Africa and paid more attention to how people were living instead of wanting to be some hostile and take over, we would have noticed that these people were living amongst the most ferocious animals in the world. Well, we look at them as ferocious, but powerful. And they found a way to live there. The same thing with South America and other parts of the world. You went to Hawaii. Did you not find peace there? But you didn't listen. Because in your heart, even though you went there, you sent your missionaries to all these places, you didn't believe in God. You sent missionaries to something you don't even believe in. And that's where the problem is. It's a great old fake out because people are not true. They're not being honest. They use these different things to get into the hearts and souls of the people who do believe that there is a higher power. And then they come back and they come back with war and this, I'm going to take over and control the world, you know, philosophy. Now, historically, I really do not know, as we say, who struck John at 5 o'clock. What caused this problem, the separation, you know, historically trying to understand separation from North Korea and South Korea, and then how all the other countries that are talking about that, you know, how what is the problem? Well, we all know, whether we know what the problem is or not, we know it has to do with somebody wanting to have more power over someone else. That's where it usually comes down to. Not wanting to share, not wanting to negotiate. And then other powers having a say in that. But what I am asking people to do is stop. Take a deep breath. Roll your shoulders back. Stretch your body. And get quiet. Step outside. Especially if you're somewhere where it's sunny and it's pretty nice. Walk through a garden. Go on a trail. And listen to the peace and observe. If you look over, if you're in a wooded area and you look over into the woods, you're going to see all types of plants coexisting together. Now, you do have aggressive plants that will choke out other plants. And sometimes, you know, either man or nature has to make corrections for that because there are aggressive plants and aggressive species out here that will totally wipe out, they can totally wipe out your garden, wipe out a forest. I remember an area in Baltimore where the forestry people had to come in and really cut back this aggressive vine that was just taking over the wooded area in Lincoln Park, which is the area where we have the Glen Falls Trail, the Jahi DuBose Trail. And that was interesting. There is a type of snake that comes from, I believe it's an island somewhere in the Pacific Ocean area. And this very little snake looks like a tree limb, and it has a tendency of getting in on airplanes, underneath airplanes and stuff. And if it arrives in your country, oh my God, it kills every kind of beautiful bird. It kills the birds and the plants. It's horrendous.
That's an aggressive species. It wants to wipe out, take over, control. So, you know, and a lot of countries, they're aware of it, and they check for these things. You know, they make sure that these things do not get caught up in the planes, luggage, or whatever, however way it can manifest itself. And so that's what we do. We have to put things in check. But we have to find a way to work at peace and negotiations and working together for harmony. That has to be what we strive for. And again, in most families, that's practice. Two children get to fight, and the two parents, if they're civilized parents, civil, they will say, don't do that. What's the problem? You know, okay, well, play. You learn how to share the ball. Okay, neither one of you are going to have the ball until you decide you're going to share the ball. That's how they do that. And little children are taught specific things from the age of 2, 3, 4 and up. You know, you're taught little things to help you negotiate your way through life. Unfortunately, everybody's not taught that, and that's how you come to have bullies, because some parents ignore it. They think it's cute when their child smacks another child, you know. But if everybody would say, wait a minute, hold up, that's not cute. You know, you have to wait your turn. Now, we know that waiting your turn means that you always have to wait your turn, and sometimes other people are aggressive and you never get a turn. Then, yeah, that causes another problem. Then there are moments when every last body of this person on this phone, you know, there's that moment when you have to say, okay, I got to step forward to get my turn. That happens. That happens. You can't always sit in the back, because sometimes you might not ever get a turn. My last name was Williams, so, you know, I was always, like, called last. There were very little Vs, very little Ys, maybe a couple Youngs. Very little names with the last name V, okay? So Williams was pretty much the end of it. So some teachers would change things up and call the W first and then work their way to the A so the little W could get a chance to get up in that line first, okay? But I'm just saying, you know, you have to be creative and think of ways so that it balances out. But that takes thought. That takes consciousness, awareness. That takes a different type of education. That takes reading about people who negotiate, reading the story of Muhammad Gandhi, so you can understand how in the world did just one man with his supporters, his main supporter was his wife, how did he get an entire nation, which was Britain, to back off and allow them to be able to create their own clothes and wear their own clothes and sell their own clothes and buy and sell and create the clothes that the people in India was wearing, instead of having to send all the material off to Britain, and the British make it, they make the money, and then they come back to India and sell people of India their own clothes, how I'm saying. So he said, no, that's not going to happen. I'll wear a diaper. I'm going to wear my own diaper. I'm going to, you know, spin it, do whatever I need to do to create it. That's serious. But look at the patience it took for this man to do that. It took a lot of patience. He really had to humble himself because he was pretty much walking around almost naked. He just had the loincloth around his, you know, his bottom half of his body. It's probably because his legs and knees and feet and everything was out. He had sandals on. Sometimes he wore a little thing around his shoulders that he made himself. He wove it himself. But see, so many people have egos. They edge guard out. So that would be way too much for some people to do because of a lack of maturity and a lack of deciding, you know what? I am a 50-something-year-old person, and I can think, I can take another way of handling this situation. I don't know how old the young man is that's in charge of the country of North Korea. He is a younger person, way much younger than our President Trump. But there's another way that our president can deal with this here. If he chooses to, he has to just decide to be mature enough and man enough say, you know what? I am the president of the United States of America, and I can find a better way to solve this problem because I am in the position to think differently. I have access to so much information that I can do this a different way. And we all know that when you keep taking things from a country, you keep taking it, keep taking the food away, you keep taking it, they can't do no biking with anybody else in the world. They can't do this, can't do that. Okay, so you bring them to their knees, so you feel, but there's always going to be repercussions. Because if you humiliate the fathers and mothers of some of the people, they have children that are going to grow up. You know, you humiliated us as a country, and I'm not standing for that. So you have to find ways that are not humiliating and degrading to work this out, because at the end of the day, everybody wants to eat. At the end of the day, everybody wants to have healthy food to eat, plenty of it. We don't have to have over amount, but enough. Healthy water, or whatever it is we drink, healthy water, healthy drink. A warm, comfortable bed to lay in. All the mothers want to have their sons home. All the wives want to have their husbands home. All the children want to have their daddies home. And if there are women fighting in these wars, all the husbands want to have their wives home. All the mothers want to have their daughters home. You know? All the fathers want to have their daughters safe. That's really the truth. Outside of places where the belief system may be a little bit different, where people will sacrifice themselves, you know, people will strap a bond to themselves and do whatever they believe because that's their belief system. They, you know, that's how they go about it. But even those people had mothers and fathers and aunts and uncles and grandparents and wives and husbands and children who really would prefer that they didn't have to do that and they would come home. If every single person could say, no, I want my loved one to be home. I want my loved one to come back home with their arms intact, not with their arm off their body or with one of these prosthetic arms, you know, robotic arm that the United States is trying to get us to feel like, so, oh, yeah, you got a robotic arm and you feel like, you know, he still feels the same. You can't really speak for that person. And even when that person speaks, they can't speak for other people. And a lot of times it's brainwashing anyway because anybody going to tell me that you feel like 100% the same with a robotic arm, that you went to fight for your country, got lied to anyway, and you lost your arm, your leg, your toes, the whole right side of your body. No. The truth of the matter is, when you stop and you listen to what I'm saying and really think about it, you really wish that this government would have went about the situation differently, and that we would have sought peace. Now, I don't know how the situation, you know, going back in time with Hitler, how all that went down to the point that eventually people, of course, had to step in because whole groups of people were being wiped out. And there was you had to wipe this guy out. You had to go after these people. But I truly believe that because things don't get put in check in the early times with the people in those countries, saying, no, this is a crazy person. What you're asking us to do is not necessary. We don't have to hate these people. It has to do with hate and not love. All of it goes back to edging God out. Well, God was never there in the first place. If you never had the understanding of the love of God, if you don't even believe in God, then we have a problem. And that person has a problem that doesn't believe in God, and so therefore they project this attitude and hatred everywhere they go. They will say they believe in God. They will even go to church. And you can tell if somebody goes to church, they don't even know what to do when they went to a church. 70 years old, don't even know what to do in a church. There's a problem with that. Oh, my goodness. But even if he went and he was able to shake his way through, or she or whoever it is, if it's not in your heart, you're just there going through the motions. So when it comes to that, then I would say that they say that government and church can't mix the two, but you can't exist on the planet without having God in your heart, without knowing that there is a creator, there is someone bigger, there's an entity, something, not someone, but an entity of power that's way greater and bigger than all of us on this earth, greater than the elephant because it created the elephant and the elephant before that elephant. Every tusk, every ear, every wrinkle, every swing of that tail, every hair on that tail, every part of that big foot that an elephant has, it created the whale, every inch of that huge, huge animal that's in the seas and the oceans. It created the ocean. How awesome to have something that could create salt water right beside fresh water. Oh, my God. Dear President, have you taken the time to think about that? How awesome that is? Fresh water right beside salt water. Wow. Getting along just fine. Getting along just fine. And we, as people, with thinking minds, the ability to think, the ability to sit down and read something and try to figure it out and write out the pros and cons. If I do this, this could be the result. If I do this, this could be the result. Out of the two or three or four or five choices that I have, dwindling them down to one or two choices, what is the best outcome for everybody involved? Well, we know the worst outcome. The worst outcome is for any kind of bombs to be dropped. But the best outcome is for two men to say, you know what, I wouldn't do this because I really care about how it's going to affect the earth, the atmosphere, the innocent people who don't even know what we're arguing about, who weren't around when the argument got started, and who are going to be around when the argument, if it ever ends. As a matter of fact, do we even know what we're arguing about? To be able to look at each other and say, what is it that you really need? What is it that you really want? And for each person to be able to not feel as though they have to put their ego back out there and show off for constituents and for people who like a lot of chaos and violence and say, okay, I've got to represent what's best for the entire world, not just United States of America, not just North Korea. This is not even whatever I do will affect the air and the water and the people of the entire world. Do I want that to be my legacy, that I caused so much confusion, I caused so much pollution, I caused so much trauma that it took the entire world into a situation that there wasn't even a scientist on the world that could figure it out? Because one thing about the planet, whatever we do to it, whatever humans do to it, it has its own self-cleansing process. And that process is a long process. Just like it, you know, once a forest burns down, it takes years for that to regrow. It's not like the next summer it's back up. It's not even the summer after that. You start seeing a little bit of green. I remember the wooded area where I used to live at burned down. On Westmont, right behind where I used to live in Baltimore City, there was a fire and it burned down. And I thought, you know, in a month or so, it would come back. But it took maybe 3 years to begin to see some green coming back because it was burned that badly. Now, I know that in the forest that fire is a natural thing. You know, lightning hits and it causes the fire and it renews things. Sometimes it's a renewal. It's a renewal. So this is the question. In your life, when you have these battles, you're arguing, you're fussing over parking spaces. And now it's escalated to you're fighting over who's going to be in control of your section of the world, which is not even your section of the world. Are you willing to go down in history as the one that sets the world onto a course of total destruction? Are you the one who wants to be known by those who are left back behind, those who survive whatever calamity comes out of this sort of thing? Do you want to be the one that was remembered and your family, you know, remembered as those were the people who caused there to be less food on the planet, less drinkable water? That's what you need to think about. And we, the people, need to be concerned. If that's not important to you, then you need to be taken out of office. You need to be impeached. And impeachment is a peaceful process, people, in case you're all saying, Mama Jahi or Jasari's love, you don't sound very peaceful there. But you have, we, the peacekeepers, we have to speak up. Then this person has to be removed from office. They cannot be out there to represent us. It's at the end of the day, their decision to not work within the framework that has been created to give us a civil society, which, I mean, we're saying that we're a civil society, and we have things in place that could help us be one. And that needs to be worked on in the United States of America. That definitely needs to be worked on. And it needs to be worked on worldwide, but I can't get into how other people do things. I know we need to work on what goes on in our home within these borders. But at that point, we need to really say, okay, this person is not representing what the United States really wants to represent. And that is, we don't want to be the people in the world that are pushing the buttons that's causing more, because the United States has done its share, more catastrophe, more harm, hurting the planet anymore. Let it be known that this country and the people of this country, the majority of the people, are conscious. Do live intentionally in peace and harmony, and that's what we want. And even if we haven't been practicing it like we should, we've come to the realization that we do believe in a higher power. There is a God out there, and we want to please that entity, and we want to respect the planet and give homage and respect and a living chance for the future of the planet and these babies and the future of everyone. You know, all these mothers that have these babies for the future of their lives, so that they have healthy, clean food to drink, eat and drink, and a healthy environment to live in. And that is our responsibility. So if this message goes as far as the White House, it's fine by me. Because he needs to hear this message. This is a choice. This is a choice. There is time and there is room. And it's hard for you to backpedal and go back. I know that, because you put yourself in a bad position now. And that's what makes it bad when we talk the wrong way. You know, when we edge guard out and we allow ourselves to be the bully, and we've got other people whispering in your ear, yeah, tell them what you're going to do, and tell them you're going to push him, and tell them you're not going to take any stuff. That's their guiding mentality. Oh, my God. Oh, my goodness. We have a leader of a country that's living in a guiding mentality, and yet every day in Baltimore City, New York City, Chicago, Los Angeles, New Orleans, in Florida, Virginia, Philadelphia, Detroit, all over this country, people get put in jail because they have the dying mentality. And now we have a president, and we've had some before. Oh, yeah, we know who they are. They have that dying mentality instead of a leadership presidential
I care about making things better attitude. We have to revamp everything, people. Our Constitution, everything got to be revamped so we can put in God back into it and we can have the right attitude, a loving, a caring. We have so much we can learn from our Native American brothers and sisters and our African brothers and sisters and other indigenous people around the world, our Hawaiian brothers and sisters, our South American indigenous people, our brothers and sisters, about how to live in peace and harmony with in your ecology, you know, within your where you live at, with the earth and with the people. However different they may be, a dandelion is nothing like a tulip, but they can grow in the same garden with a rose and with some blades of grass on the same exact soil, breathing in the same, whatever they breathe in, whether it's carbon monoxide, and giving out oxygen. Horses and pigs and cows and sheep and goats and chickens and dogs and cats and spiders and snails can live in the same exact environment. I've watched them. I've observed this in squirrels. And yeah, a tiger come along, it could be a little chaos there. He's hungry. But I am saying we need to, as the President of the United States, can you stop and think for a minute? Aren't you as good as a horse or a pig? You could just think about how we can live together. I mean, can't you see how that could work a lot better? I am imploring both of you. Can't you see that you're supposed to be smarter than a horse, smarter than a zebra and a giraffe and an elephant? They seem to be able to work together. So that is my call out for today. Cynthia Jai, the Luxurious Love Show, a platform of Home-Based Fitness 101. These are not the thoughts of Baba Jahi or the people who put together Blog Talk Radio. These are my thoughts. So if anybody else wants to, you know, scared to say, oh, I don't say that. Fine, no problem. I can stand on my own 2 feet, stand up for myself. This was in my heart. Peace. Peace takes listening. Peace takes silence, stillness, calmness, research, more research, just from your cronies and your friends and the people who have a foot in it, money in it, but the peacemakers. Go to the peacemaker, A.R., the pastor A.R. Bernard in New York, and get some advice. Sit down and listen to a Minister Farrakhan. Oh, people are calling. You might not can handle that. But get some advice. And those other peacekeepers who may be of they may be Caucasian too, who are talking peace to you about peaceful solutions. The other Congress people who are speaking peace. And let peace prevail. This is the Jasari's Love Show. Look forward to speaking to you again. Listen out for Baba Jahi on Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, Victoria Falk, 3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Mondays. Another platform separate is Ms. Kim Williams. You can find her on Facebook. She has various times that she has a show, her own show is a different platform on the Christian Network for Blog Talk Radio. This is Cynthia Jahi of Jasari's Love. Let's work intentionally. Everyone that can hear my voice, send this out to other people. Consciously, intentionally, let's work towards peace. I love you. Have a great weekend.